Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to another episode of Hypecast.
It's a Hypecast.
Show we get hyped about stuff and things. I saw you reach over and thought you were about to hit like a soundboard or something in my mind.
Beep, 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 beep.
I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I'm the other co-host, David Bell.
And with us live via satellite.
Who do we got?
Is who?
This is Abe Epperson, friend of the site.
Hi, Abe.
Hi, Abe.
You haven't been on one of these in a while, I realized.
Yeah, because you guys are kind of hard to work with.
Okay. Yeah, we're intolerable.
Yeah.
We really are.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, you're impossible to be around.
Welcome. You psyched? Is everybody psyched? Because when this comes out, it's Mindhunter Day.
Yeah.
All you hunters out there.
Day.
Yeah, are you hunt heads? Ready for Mindhunter?
Long-awaited season two.
Season two.
I don't think we talked about a single trailer for Mindhunter on this, did we?
Yeah, we did. You might have been
I might have been absent that day.
Yeah.
Dave actually turned me on to Mindhunter. I was like, I thought it was a different thing. And then Dave was like, I think you're thinking of something else. I was like, is it good? And he was like, yeah. And then I watched it, and he's right. It's good.
It's good.
Yeah, terrible name. Terrible name.
It's like the worst name they could have gone with.
Yeah.
But I don't know what else he would call it.
Serial guys. Couple of
serial dudes.
Serial dudes. Yeah. You guys ready to talk about these trailers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Are you excited?
You know it.
Am I hype? Yeah.
Are you hyped for this? All day to talk about these trailers.
I'm gonna be honest with you. It's better than most, but also there's some snoozers
on this list
for me. Yeah, there's snoozers.
All right. Well, let's start with Little Women.
I'm kind of hype about this.
I hit the soundboard right now. yeah.
Well, this looks good.
It's Greta Gerwig.
I love the original. So yeah.
What's wonderful about it is it's like a biopic, but it also is thematically Little Women. It's like both.
Right.
It's awesome. It's kind of a good combination of things.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for this. It's got a solid cast. I mean, there's no Christian Bale. He was in the first one.
Was he?
No.
Yeah. The original was shot, the exteriors were shot in Old Deerfield, Massachusetts, which is close to where I lived. It's like a historic, you know, it's all fucking old. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. old. And I like that this was shot in Concord, Massachusetts. I looked it up. It's all shot throughout all of Massachusetts. So this is like how New Zealand is Middle Earth. I think the old women universe, Little Women universe can only be created in Massachusetts.
Right, Massachusetts is like America's Middle Earth.
Yes. Yeah, we'll go with that. It's America's Little Women, Middle Earth.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see some old ass buildings. Is my point.
Man. Some Middle Women. Theater, just eating popcorn in the theater, man. That building's crazy old.
Yeah, exactly.
Just shoveling popcorn.
There's gonna be so many ghosts in this movie that we won't even notice.
Yeah.
Just there's so many ghosts being like, oh, they're filming something today. Cool.
Man, I wish we appeared on film.
Yeah.
I really like there's something about when they do trailers where it's just like You know, at the end of Act One, you usually have your protagonist, especially if it's like an internal kind of conflict, or at least they have to make a breakthrough, or they want something, and they can put it into words, where it's not like just like stop something, like I gotta shoot the guys. It's like, no, I want this to happen with my life. They usually have a monologue. Putting that monologue over like much of the trailer is such a compelling way to make a trailer.
Yeah.
Because like when she's just like, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of this being what the world is. And you're like, yeah, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. And she's killing it.
Yeah. She's just like, I know this sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can tell this sucks.
I can feel it in my bones.
I don't want it. So I'm going to not allow it to like conquer me. And that is just, it's a compelling.
Right. It's a way to let us know what the film is about without showing, without giving too much away. Yeah.
On the other thing that I noticed about this is that I am one of those compartments of pop culture that I am wholly unaware of. And every time it hits me and I'm like, oh, wow, I really should I put work into this? Should I know more? Is Young Hot Boys.
Oh, yeah, there's like, some Young Hot
when
Boys. They,
when
this.
There's a new one, and there's another one that we're going to be looking at later, where I'm just like, God, they're like assembly line.
They keep happening.
Yeah. They just keep happening.
I don't think you need to be keeping up with the Young Hot Boys.
No, I don't.
I can't tell a nary a one of them apart.
Yeah. I can't, but I see them.
I would extend this out to Young Hot People in general,
too. Yeah, it's not. It
especially
has nothing
in the
to do
music
with
industry, where it's like on Twitter, I'll be like, oh, what is this? Who is this now?
Right.
What
right,
are
but,
you? I don't know who you are.
But with a lot like of you. the younger women in this particular trailer, like, I recognize Emma Watson.
Right.
I recognize Lady Bird. You know, like, they have had stuff. This boy was completely...
Of course,
I don't even know his name, nor am I going to learn it. It, like, completely blindsides me to be like, oh, yeah. And, right. Of course. Because it's an updated teen thing.
Right.
Of course it's an updated teen thing. I still think of my 20-something-year-olds as teens because that's how I grew up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still like, where's Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Yeah.
Also, like, young actors in general, they're like cats where, like, if you got a bunch of them, you don't know which ones are going to last. They're like outdoor cats. Sorry. Where it's like,
okay,
you got a handful
of
them. And you're like, I don't know which one of these I'm going to be thinking about in 10 years.
Right.
So like this weird young hot guy in this is just like, I don't know if you're worth my time.
It's Timothy Chalamet.
What does that mean?
He's the Call Me By Your Name.
Okay.
Don't know what that is, but that's fine. I told you I'm woefully
right,
unprepared to understand the
well,
subculture.
Right,
but yeah, he could be a Christian
I'm
Bale
glad
later.
You understand
we don't know.
That.
The
you,
last little woman had a Last Little Woman had a Christian Bale, so it's like, who can say?
No,
who can say?
It is.
I won't care until I care. I get it.
The,
I get
the
it.
The children aren't wrong. I'm the one who is wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no. Again, it's like outdoor cats. Is I don't know which ones to get attached to yet.
Yeah, there's it's something like, about that. You know, I think if there's a bunch of performances that I can already tell are going to be pretty damn good. And
right.
Also Meryl Streep's in this, you know, like
yeah, man.
It's there's such a
and
good,
Laura Dern.
Yeah, there's such mm-hmm. a good. I love it in films when older actors and younger actors are essentially like it's not like a passing of the torch because that's something that happens when you're like right next to each other, like, oh, the 25-year-old is handing it to like the 17-year-old or something
right.
like that. But like in terms of generational shift and like the political moments that have happened over Meryl Streep's life to see this movie, I really want to hear Meryl Streep's thoughts on, I mean, other than obviously she's in it. So that's one thing. That's an endorsement in itself. But I want to hear what she thinks about the process and how this movie even being made and made like this, especially like that's they're probably unique thoughts like any actor, you know,
sure.
who's older and is like, this is not how movies used to be made.
It's also a little bit of an October Sky reunion because it's got Laura Dern and Chris Cooper in it.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell
it's
yeah.
about time.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Chris Cooper.
It's a spiritual sequel to October Sky.
Yes.
Something
it's
we
a
need.
Prequel.
I love October Sky. So.
I know.
I also really like old actors and young actors because, like, watching them Harry Potters, I know that, like, someone taught Gary Oldman what Snapchat is. Like, on set, like, it's just fun to imagine what all the conversations are happening.
I want to imagine those kids explain. Oh, I mean, this is even too young for the Harry Potter kids, but, like, I want someone on this set to be trying to explain Fortnite to Chris Cooper.
Yes. Oh, God.
Oh, hell yes.
Can you imagine?
Hell yes, dude.
You would have to, it would be a conversation where you'd have to, like, you'd start explaining it and you'd be like, okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Do you not know what video games are?
He might
and then,
not.
Yeah, and then you'd have to, like, go back and explain, like, okay, well, in the 80s, there was this, like, it was just, it would be great.
And then just cut to, at the end of production, Chris Cooper's just giving everyone dabs.
Yes. Chris Cooper dabbing.
Just like, here's your lunch, Mr. Cooper. I'm going to give you a dab.
Here's a dab for you.
Just dab for you, dab for you. It's like, all right, Chris Cooper dabs.
He's dabbing now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's his thing now. He's dabbing.
Oh, man. That's the thing that ruins something is the second, like, the dab dads.
Right.
You know, then the children don't want it anymore.
I think you're going to say the second Chris Cooper does it.
The second Chris Cooper does it is the litmus test for society to say a trend is over. That would be so sad. That would be so sad if not because it's not right. It could be very right. That could be very correct. But that would be so sad if you, out of all of society, were chosen to be like the second you do any new trend or fad.
It would be it sad, but
I'm not far from that person.
Right, but it would give you so much power.
Like. Yeah. And then Chris Cooper just sad dab.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Sad dab. Okay, so any more thoughts on Little Women? I feel like we've covered everything.
We covered all the bases. All the bases.
I mean, there's not much to say. I would encourage people to go watch the original. It's all some real boring stuff that's great. You know, it's one of them. It's one of them dramas.
Do they still do, I mean, this is probably not the right people to ask, but, like, if anyone is on the younger side, do they still make elementary school children read Little Women?
I didn't read it in elementary school.
You didn't read it.
Oh, yeah, it would be weird if I had an immediate answer for you. If I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they totally
Dave,
don't have
did
the
you,
curriculum right in front of me.
Did you read this when you were young?
I don't know. I didn't retain anything in school. Mm. So, like...
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember they taught us about the Holocaust in second grade. And I remember second grade being like, I feel like I'm too young to learn this.
No, you got to start young about the Holocaust.
It kind of. I think, yeah. I mean, I turned out good.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I apparently remember from elementary school.
Well, if you were going to retain anything.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
That's one of the big ones. It's a biggie.
That's one of the big ones.
Yeah. Okay, no way to pivot off of that into the next trailer.
There is a later one coming up, the Terrence.
This isn't the one.
I mean, we can switch the order if you want to pivot more.
No, clean. I don't want it. It's too late. We've made it weird. The next trailer is Invader Zim. Enter the Florpus.
Mm.
What are you guys thinking?
I was a huge Invader Zim fan, so I'm excited to watch this.
I was a huge Johnny the Homicidal Maniac fan.
Same.
It's one of the few comics I completed. And I never got into Invader Zim, not because it was bad, because I just sort of moved on into, like, different interests at that point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't have the time for it, if that makes sense.
I saw Zim first.
Oh, yeah?
And then I read Johnny the Homicidal Maniac.
Okay.
And then I read Squee.
Squee's not bad. And then there was, oh, shit, I forgot the other one.
I Feel Sick,
which I really liked. I always thought they should have made a Johnny the Homicidal Maniac film or show.
Something, yeah.
And it feels like now we're way too late. Would be grotesque to do some of the stuff in that, and it would be real edgelord shit.
Yeah,
doing mass killings.
Well, it's because his house is possessed by a demon and he has to feed the walls.
Right. No,
so
yeah.
You could make that movie.
It's a pretty great premise. Abe, do you have any thoughts on Zim?
I'm not going to waste your time. My knowledge of this topic is that I know I've heard Invader and Zim said in okay. next to each other as words.
It's a cool idea for a kid's show.
It's very funny.
Yeah. Which is
yeah,
that
no,
it's,
yeah.
Yeah. Like this.
It looks
this,
like very Animaniacs-y, you know? Like
sure.
Not dissimilar, yeah.
See, I'm already wasting our time.
I had this and Family Guy were the shows that I would like download on my computer freshman year of college. Like I had a bunch of episodes of Zim saved and a bunch of Family Guy episodes saved.
Is this a new show or is this?
It's like a new movie.
Okay, what else did they just bring back? The Netflix just brought back
Rocco's Modern Life.
Okay, I never watched that. That was
neither did I.
Yeah, I was didn't watch too Rocco. Old, I think, for that stuff. There's like that Rugrats era. It was that sort of thing as I never got, we didn't have cable growing up really. And so once I finally did get cable, it was past that like Nickelodeon shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I watched Rugrats and everything.
Yeah.
Those are part of the first three Nicktoons were Doug, Rugrats, and Ren and Stimpy.
Right. I never got cable until I was older. So I never did those early, you know, early cartoons. Like,
and
I
Rocco
was more like
is
Beavis and Butthead and stuff like that.
Rocco is a dog. And
I guess.
And Rugrats are not tiny rats that live in rugs.
No.
They're babies.
They're
babies. Little babies. And it's the creator.
And what is it? What is a Doug? What is a Doug?
Oh,
Doug
God. He's hideous. I don't know what that
turd.
Is.
He's just like he's a turd.
No, I never got
I'm
into
a
human
Doug.
Boy.
Little every day, learn a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
He's a human boy. But yeah, Invader Zim. I'm excited for this.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I like Florpus. What is that? Is that something?
Don't know.
That,
we're going to find out.
Thing? All right, cool. 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 Cool.
I assume
cool,
it's
cool.
Like genitals enter the Florpus.
Yeah, it's got like a Rick and Morty.
It does have a Rick and Morty feel.
Yeah, Florpus is
like a plumbus.
A plumbus. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
This next trailer I know I watched today and I don't remember it based on the title. Night Hunter?
Oh, yeah, that's the thriller.
Ooh, I'm in for this.
With Henry Cavill and Alexander Daddario and somebody else is in it.
And what else happens? I'm still making drawing a blank.
It's kind of like a it's sort of like a Hannibal Lecter thing where they've yeah. arrested the guy, but
she's like
an
investigator and he's like a knockdown, like he's a SWAT guy, it seems.
Right,
like his job, they're both specialists. He specializes in breaking into the homes of these horrible, you know, like I guess serial rapists, murderers, or kidnappers. We're unsure. I'm pretty sure this one is all of them.
All of the above.
And then Alexandra Daddario plays like a interrogator of some kind, or just a straight detective.
You guys are going to watch this?
I think I will because
yeah,
I like both
this is
these
right
actors.
Up your alley, bro.
Yeah.
It's yeah. like a 90s thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like that the pull quote was impressively polished. Like, that's what they put in the trailer.
It looks good.
Because it feels like it was something like if you're forced to give positive feedback, that's the feedback you would give if you can't think of anything else to say.
Mm-hmm. But the Tooch is in us.
Yeah, the Tooch
is in it. Yeah.
Stanley Tucci. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to watch the shit out of this. 90s thriller serial killer. I mean,
oh yeah, and the killer was in Freddy versus Jason.
Oh really?
Yep. And an episode of Supernatural.
Okay, good for him.
Yeah, he's getting work.
Yeah,
good
on him.
For him.
Good on him.
Yeah,
Dave,
looks good.
I noticed
I'll watch
you wrote
this.
A note. You said one of the pull quotes is impressively polished, which
I just
saw.
Yeah.
That which. Do you have anything to say about that? Because I do.
I literally just said it.
Yeah, he just said
it. Yeah, the student film aspect of it. It really is one of those things that sounds like they're just like, new directors. You got to love them, though. They're going to do well. We swear.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I think this is going to be very middle of the road. I think this is going to be very Along Came a Spider. Where you're like, where it's one of those films that you've seen and you know you've seen it, but then you can't for the life of you remember it. And then you go back and watch it, you're like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember this.
Wincoat wore a lot of facial prosthetics in Along Came a Spider.
I think you're thinking of A Murder of Crows, Tom.
I'm not.
Really? Because in A Murder of Crows, it's about the killers in prosthetics.
Well,
that's the twist.
In Along Came a Spider, spoilers. Michael Wincoat's the kidnapper, but the bad guy turns out to be Monica Potter.
Okay. Spoilers for A Murder of Crows and Along Came a Spider. Because A Murder of Crows, the twist is that the killer has been disguising himself as various people throughout Cuba Gooding Jr.'s like story in that movie. So like,
exhausting.
He's like a makeup artist. But what's funny about it is you watch it now and it's like, why is that guy an old man makeup? Wait, why is that guy wearing a fake mustache? And so as you're watching it, it's like you can tell, like, because the makeup isn't quite good enough. Mm-hmm. So the twist doesn't work because you're like, why is this man constantly showing up in weird makeup? And then they're like, it was me. And it's like, oh, yeah, I saw you.
Yeah, I noticed you every time. You really stood out, man.
Yeah, I noticed you in that Austin Powers getup. Like, it's, yeah, everybody watched that movie.
Weirdo.
Sorry I spoiled it.
You know, this is what also it reminds me of is 1999's The Bone Collector.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Starring Angelina Jolie and Denzel.
Is that, yeah, Washington. Denzel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Great. These are all great.
We should
and then
watch
some of
these.
Them, some of them are Alex Cross films.
Along Came a Spider is.
Along Came a Spider is. And then the Alex Cross film everybody should watch. I thought that was fucking great.
Mm.
That was newer.
Yeah, that was the one.
That was a real
Tyler
thriller.
Perry.
It was a real 90s thriller.
Yeah, for sure. Let's move on.
Let's not. Let's keep. Okay.
I have more about The Bone Collector.
I mean, we can make a show where we just talk about 90s thrillers.
I mean, yeah, I guess we'll have to.
We should write
Did you guys
a 90s
watch?
Thriller.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
What were you going to ask? What were you going to ask?
Just the screenwriter of The Bone Collector. Also wrote a movie called Blood In, Blood Out.
Ooh.
So the guy's just fascinated with body, like in what's inside the body.
Okay, hold on. I understand the blood out part, mm-hmm. but what's the blood in part?
you take the blood after you take it out, you put the blood in.
Is this about someone on dialysis who's like becomes
maybe,
a murderer?
Maybe it's talking about
it's a gang war film, so I think blood in is a reference to East Los Angeles, like getting initiated into the gang.
Okay, I like my version better.
I like my version better, where they're just taking blood.
Maybe
in.
they're vampire gang members.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a real concept.
Speaking of the Holocaust,
yeah,
A Hidden Life is the next one.
Yeah,
Terry Malick.
I was really into watching this movie until Terrence Malick's name popped up at the end.
Has he done movies that are
watchable?
He did The Thin Red Line. That's like a...
He does
movies that have stories, right?
He's like a good... He's good, but he also... All right, here's the best way to say what Terrence Malick is. He invites the people that watch his films and love his films and review his films are of like... an elitist higher echelon. Look at the opening quote that it starts everything. Cinema at its mightiest and holiest, a movie you enter like a cathedral of the senses. Like,
get
think
the
about
fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. Buying popcorn over here. It's like, it's so, it's so fucking in up its own ass.
I know.
It doesn't mean that as a director and as like a collaborator, he makes stuff that isn't like thoroughly human and like very interesting to watch on its own merit. He always made, even Tree of Life, which I have the same problem with, is very up its own ass, but at the same time is like, oh, that's interesting. That is kind of that is how we just ad hoc do social structures and families.
Yeah.
There's like a thesis that's interesting, but he's just, I can't take you seriously, man. You want everything to be seen in salons and shit.
His movies, I do enjoy watching Tree of Life, because I really like the visuals of that movie.
Yeah, his visuals are always gorgeous.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll skip ahead.
They're so meandering and like, it's just like, also, man, please just tell me a story, you bastard.
Yeah. I also like the idea that if you watch the trailer, I'm sure he used more than one lens on the film, but if you watch the trailer, it looks like it was made by a movie made by people who forgot lenses.
Right.
They're just like, we only have this one. Oh shit, okay. Because every shot looks the same to
what's
me.
What's the
because...
one he did with... Oh, sorry.
No, that's it. That's just...
what's the one he did with Baffleck? He did one with the Ben Affleck?
Oh, Ben Affleck? Shit. Yeah, shit.
It was like something. It was words. There were definitely words.
I mean, usually titles to the wonder.
Have... Yeah, I remember there was interviews with Affleck about how he just didn't understand what the fuck was happening. Like, that's right. Kind of, I like that he gets like Brad Pitt and Sean Penn, and these actors you can tell are probably not quite into it, but like someone told them, like, look, you just gotta do it.
He's got Sean Penn more than once.
Sean Penn's right up his alley, frankly. And I think they get it. They smell each other's farts.
I think they like being up their own asses.
I think it was Tree of Life. Because there's multiple movies I've heard this about, but I think it was Tree of Life that when it played in a theater in France, and they accidentally put the reels in the wrong order, and nobody noticed.
Yeah, that's Tree of Life.
Right.
Not the best sign about your movie.
No, that if I was the editor, I would be like, oh, no.
That's a real bummer. That's a real bummer.
So yeah, it's a movie about.
This looks like it actually has a plot.
Well, yeah. This is definitely about Nazi-occupied France, I think.
And it looks like it has like a whole plot, and not just it's going to be Brad Pitt in a field for 2 hours.
And it looks amazing.
Yeah.
Just from a visual standpoint.
Cannes is going to eat it up. You know, Toronto is going to eat it up. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Just, I can't. Terrence Malick, man. I just can't.
Yeah. Like I said, I think there's two types of Terrence Malick. And I think the type where he's like, wakes up and he's like, I think I'll do it, like make an actual movie with like a story. Mm-hmm. I think that's what this is. And so I think it'll be more tolerable.
Maybe, man.
Like, if Terrence Malick and what's his face? John Malkovich were ever to like do something together, I'd be like, I bet this is going to be really good and I'm going to fucking hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'll probably forget about this movie.
But this one's about World War II. There's something.
Yeah.
It's at least
not
just like
movies out there, you know?
Slice of life. It's like, at least it's not about like the
That's
leaves.
What I mean.
Right, like a microcosm of the human experience.
Right.
Like, some political stuff. Yeah.
In the last like 15 years of Terrence Malick's career, I think like 6 things have happened in his movies. Mm-hmm. Like just things,
right?
Like
actual events,
yeah.
Identifiable events,
yeah. Not just walking around. I love Tree of Life. The dinosaur sequence is fucking great. That's one of my favorite dinosaur sequences in a movie because the way he shot that is I think it was either he didn't tell the cinematographer or he directed the cinematographer in a way to tell him like, you're not filming dinosaurs. There's not going to be dinosaurs in these shots. And so the dinosaurs, they weren't shooting for like, okay, then a dinosaur.
They were landscape. Right. Yeah.
Right.
They weren't.
And
the
then he told
portrait.
The special effects artist like, yeah, don't make the dinosaurs the subject of the shots. They're just in the shots. And it's like done really well.
Yeah, it makes it feel, because we're so used to seeing like, ah, fuck, it's a dinosaur.
Right.
Yeah.
He does to dinosaurs what he does to everybody in his films. They're just meandering.
Yeah.
It's like a brief Terrence Malick presents dinosaurs like walking in a field.
Right. He would make the dullest ass dinosaur movie.
Now I really want.
He would like make Godzilla like eating a baguette and fucking reading a newspaper, for God's sake.
I really want a full Terrence Malick dinosaur film where it has like the haunting music, and then every now and then there's voiceover, and the voiceover is just like.
it should just be like a dinosaur, like. Jumps and like destroys another dinosaur and just starts eating its neck out, and then it stops and it looks over at a waterfall and just admires the beauty of it, you know.
Oh man.
Fucking, that's Terrence Malick.
Terrence Malick.
TM, baby.
TM?
TM. He's got an entourage. You know that,
T-Mal.
Right?
T-Mal. Of course he's he does.
Terrence Malick's got a huge entourage.
Mm-hmm. What would they call themselves? The T-Pack?
No, they don't. Their names are symbols. Their names aren't words.
That's fair. Next trailer is Low Tide. This is like a
simple plan with kids.
Oh, I was thinking this is Gritty Goonies.
Oh yeah,
this is like
this one. I'm
Goonies
kinda...
got real dark.
I thought this was gonna go one. Treasure. I thought this was gonna go a different way halfway through. This is A24. Yeah. I thought it was gonna go a completely different way, and I was very sad because it's basically they find treasure, and then these kids like Goonies, and then after they find treasure, they realize that they're like the group itself is like being torn apart by greed. Is that everyone else's scan of it?
They're learning
about coming of age and how horrible the world can be with selfishness. And
yeah, like I said, it looks like a simple plan with teens.
Yeah.
I was hoping that they were going to get haunted by a ghost pirate.
Well, right, because it's A24, and the first fucking kid you see is a kid from It.
Yeah, A24
right. So I was like, yeah, monsters!
Funny, because they do dramas all the time,
yeah,
but they don't advertise them as much.
Yeah.
I want some pirate ghouls.
Yeah, they should. Maybe there's going to be pirate ghouls in this. We don't know.
There might be. I don't
but
know.
But I feel like if there were, they would tell us.
Yeah. They might show us a pirate
ghoul.
Or,
I mean, like, you know, it doesn't even have to, like, murder them. It could just Captain Ron them, you know?
Right.
I don't know what that means.
Or, like, mud them. Like take them
haunt
and, like...
Haunt them in a different way.
Haunt them by just, like, teaching them life lessons and, you know, just, like, taking them under
and
their
being
wing.
Delightful and taking
just
them on a delightful family.
Right. opening their eyes to the ways of the sea.
Right.
Okay, Tom, do you understand more now what it means to be Captain Ron? Have you seen that film?
I've seen Captain Ron, but for the life of me, when you said, I hope the ghost Captain Ron's them, I could not even begin to imagine what you meant.
Turns them into Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Nope. Clearly not a Captain Ron fan.
Turns into Kurt Russell with an eye patch.
Curse of the Russell.
Curse of the Russell? Wait, he turns you into himself?
Yeah, you become Kurt Russell.
You become
That's
Kurt
a
Russell.
Weird curse.
Like, you slowly, like, your hair gets, like, more feathery. you get more grizzled.
And you're like, what happened? What's next? He's like, that's it. That's all that happened.
That's the curse.
That's the
you're
curse.
Like, oh, okay.
Tommy pissed off the cat. Tom just pissed off the cat.
Pissed that cat right off. She's furious.
All right. Next one,
Low
guys?
Tide. Yeah.
Next one?
The best one on the list.
Yes. This was going to be in my movie that deserved more hype.
Oh, Parasite.
Parasite. I think this is only a day old, awesome. So I was like, I think this is just going to blow up on its own.
Yeah, everyone was talking about it. Today.
Yeah.
Everyone was talking about this trailer.
Is the director of The Host.
Awesome.
And The Snowpiercer.
And Mother,
And Mother, and it looks great.
Yeah. I forget the name of the actor, but he's been in a bunch of stuff. He was also in Snowpiercer. He's also in The Host. He was in, what was another Korean film that he was in? He was in Thirst, where he plays a vampire priest. Yeah. He's like their fucking Tom Cruise, like he's just in everything, and he rules. He can do comedy, he can do action, he can do a lot of stuff.
I'm not certain what this is about, but there's some great comedic beats already in the trailer.
It's a fantastic trailer because you kind of glean what it is, but you don't really know.
Right.
And I kind of think that the name might give it, like, I have a theory, but like,
yeah, same.
Yeah, but it's probably the same theory too, because it's all in the name. But yeah, it's very, very cool, and it has to do with poor and rich society.
Yeah,
right, it's class structure.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's like some sinister shit going on.
Right,
in
the
there.
Trailer. If you haven't seen it, you should watch his fucking trailer because it starts out like a comedy.
Yeah,
and then it pivots halfway through to be like, oh shit,
yeah,
some serious shit is gonna go down.
Yeah.
It looks fantastic. I'm very excited.
Yeah, my theory is that it's about a grasper.
A what now?
A grasper, a social climber, a social grasper.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that the parasite might have a double meaning in that the lower class person who's, you know, talented Mr. Rippling, the rich family,
right,
is, yes, that's one version of a parasite, but also that rich people are parasitic on poor people's backs. And I think it's going to be there's going to be a duality, and it's going to probably investigate both sides and make all people kind of deplorable.
Make them all look awful.
Yeah,
it's going to be a real Snowpiercer.
It's going to be great because there's kids in this film, and it's a comedy.
This person clearly has some themes. See, I wanted to be about brain worms, but that's just me.
All right.
I don't think there's going to be any monsters.
I want flamethrower
themes. I want flamethrower
murders. And they're just nuking people, and they don't know, and they tying people to chairs.
Yeah.
And the parasite turns you into Kurt Russell.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With an eye patch.
Yep. Everyone's getting Captain Ron today. I love also the opening. The opening image is flicking a spider.
Yeah.
And then the next scene is about they're exterminating the street, and they're like, leave the window open so that we get free extermination. So they're putting their own health at hazard because they can't pay for it. But it's also the flicking of the spider, which is a predator of lower insects. Like, there's so much bundled up already.
Oh, yeah.
In the first two lines of the trailer. It's great.
Yeah, this is gonna be a great film. This movie's gonna rule.
Yeah.
That said, I saved the best trailer for the last one, because we have
sure.
Last Christmas, you guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ooh wee. Well, there's already. Have you noticed the? Have you seen on the internet? There's already theories about this movie. Which, when you hear the theories, you're like, oh, okay. The theory being that she's dead, and he's an angel. Or that he's a ghost and gave his heart to her. Because if you watch the trailer, there's
last Christmas I gave you my heart, and the very next day you gave it away.
She's exactly. Like, you always, like, we accidentally run into each other.
Exactly, you always keep showing up. Yeah. Like, there's clearly something. If you watch the trailer, you're like, yeah, they're hiding a twist in this trailer.
Yes,
it's last Christmas. I don't, because that's not even a thing. Like, no one says, like, well, it really was a last Christmas. Like, no one says
it's
just, it.
It's
a
only
made
to
up thing.
Right. It's only to reference the Wham song.
Yeah,
or the George Michael song.
Oh yeah, that's true. It's George Michael.
Yeah,
because he's all over this trailer, and as we know,
it's that song.
And he famously came back from the dead. So. Right.
Like Jesus.
He is risen.
Yeah.
George Michael.
George Michael.
Yeah, it's directed by Paul Feig.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know how I feel.
I don't
about
care
that.
About Paul.
I
mean, he's not bad. It's just like making twist movies.
Yeah.
I
haven't really enjoyed his comedies. And I may be one of the only people I've talked to that didn't like A Simple Favor.
I haven't seen that yet, and I want to, because it looks fucking crazy.
It is. It is crazy in all of the bad ways.
There was that every frame of painting about Edgar Wright that pointed it out, and it, since then, like, I haven't been able to enjoy a lot of comedies where they're just like the camera is just stationary and they just film comedians doing improv.
Yes.
And that's still sort of happening. It feels like it's happening less now. But
definitely
Paul Feig
happens
was like,
online because out of necessity of budget and such, but like for
right
cinema,
for movies
why are we making it's because it's like, oh, let's take a bunch of directors who more or less came from the school of like Funny or Die,
right?
Like
and Paul
Adam
Feig,
McKay and
yeah, and they're none of them are bad directors, and Paul Feig isn't a bad director, but it's like, I mean, it was what the issue with the new Ghostbusters, besides the fact that we just don't need more Ghostbusters, but like the first Ghostbusters is kind of like a visual film. Like, it has it's like well shot, it's a sci-fi movie, and then they made it like a broad comedy where everything's just like brightly lit and the actors just stand there and
throw jokes
at each other.
Yeah, it's polished, it's shot in the most HD of formats, but it's not like
that's
thought out and from a production, a choreography, setting, staging standpoint. It's not real directing.
And that's the problem with A Simple Favor.
Is it shot like that?
It's not, but he couldn't resist throwing improv into it.
Right.
So it's like this thriller that has these, sort of like the new Halloween, where it has these very bizarre, jarring moments of like, this is
right. This is
all of a sudden it's an Apatow comedy,
right?
For a couple of lines, where the it's tone like, what just, the fuck yeah. is this?
Yeah.
Last yeah.
Christmas seems more in line with, okay, this brand of comedy will work. I just hope it's got a real fucked up twist. I hope it's got
I'm
something
sure
real
it does.
Stupid.
We've probably, one of the things we've said is absolutely
yeah.
what it is.
Well, what if he turns her into Kurt Russell?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Wrong. And this is her last Christmas as not
as Amelia Clark. Yeah. I'm also very tired of the, like, I don't know, the depression arc. I mean, I know depression is a very real thing, but sure. the way that it's displayed in movies of like, and this movie may have more claim than other movies do with like Manic Pixie Dream Girl stuff, where it's like she clearly had a midlife crisis because she had some sickness. She, you know, her heart, obviously there was an issue, and that's why she now drinks. That's why she now does all that stuff. But she's just so kooky and, you know, cute, mm-hmm. and she wears rain boots and dresses. You know, it's right. like, I'm kind of, it's like post-twee, but it's like post-twee in a way that I'm like, you're still kind of twee. You're still
sure.
making the Garden States a little bit.
Right.
Do we need another fucking beanie to be on our main character? You know, mm. just because of the color palette. Like, I don't know. I mean, I think this movie has claim to it more than most because obviously she's had a tragedy and has had a midlife crisis. But the quirkiness meets the, like, tortured soul aspect of the romantic comedy actor or actress really always throws me off. Because it's not that it's not an interesting character. It's just that it's been done so often.
I get bothered by, and I again, this is one of those things you can't really change, which is whenever a like hot like actor or actress plays like a broken like alcoholic, and it's like, now you look great. Like I know that's just the nature
movies,
of all of this.
Yeah.
That's how movies work, but there's definitely that element of like
it really extends always, that suspension of disbelief.
Yes, it's always a real polished look at these things. I guess all right, so that's it for trailers. Mm-hmm. Guys, Tom had to step out.
He got raptured. Oh.
Tom had to get raptured. So me and Amber are going to continue the stories for the rest of this. It's not a nobody worry.
Yeah, but if you're also worried about the rapture, you know, like,
yeah.
God bless, you know, everybody.
He was the only one. I think no one else.
Let's have a yeah. Oh, so he's the only one.
The only one.
You already checked.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm not seeing anything on Twitter.
Yep,
it looks like he was the only one raptured. Sorry,
yeah, he's
everybody.
he's gonna show up, and Jesus is gonna be like, yeah, you were the only one who liked RoboCop the most.
Yeah.
That's all
the
it was
adequate
about.
Adequate amount. Yeah.
Yeah, that was all about RoboCop.
Yeah.
Just so we
hang with Jesus.
Yeah. So let's move on to the news stories, Abe.
Yeah, okay, let's hit it.
Yeah. The hunt was canceled.
Yeah, and I kind of fine with it.
Yes. Here's the thing. A couple hype casts ago, I was chatting with Adam Todd Brown, and we were talking about how this looked good. And it did kind of look good, the trailers. I don't like why it was canceled, in that I don't like the added political aspects to it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the more I dug into this film, it's written by Damon Lindelof. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. And it was originally called Red State versus Blue State.
Ooh,
and so
yeah.
immediately it was like, I don't think we need this. And I honestly, and then it apparently got bad test screenings. I think what might have happened is Universal or whoever. Yeah, it's Universal. The meeting wasn't them like, the president doesn't want us to do this, release this movie. They were probably like, oh, thank God, an excuse to not release this movie.
It's always scary to me because like sometimes that's like the perfect film because test audiences not liking it means it made everyone very uncomfortable.
Right.
Which
yeah.
could be good. And I don't like the fact that Trump put pressure on them, obviously. So that is like that bothers me from like an artist's perspective, but I also acknowledge the fact that like Universal and other studios do this all the time because they want to make more money. It doesn't have anything right. to do with the politics. So it's just like, it's like a fucking maelstrom of different things right. to think about. And you're just and like, also, now you just got to prioritize. And you know what? I think I'm fine with it not being made because it probably isn't good. It's hard right, to make something really good with that right. much shit surrounding it.
It's also, it just seems inflammatory and kind of shitty. Like, cause it's about blue state liberal elites hunting red state Trump supporters.
Yeah. I thought they would like, pin it around or like, cause movies need a twist.
Right.
Like
well, the idea, yeah, the idea is then the red staters like, fight back. And it's like, yeah, that's certainly the dynamic of violence that's disproportionately happening
right,
in this
right, yeah, exactly.
country. All those liberals doing all the violence. All and it's that violence. Where it's like, I'm not saying that as a partisan way. I'm saying that in a way of just, if you look at the statistics of violence in America, it's literally the opposite of that.
Right.
And so it's weird that they would put this out because it's just feels like it would just make everybody unhappy. And feel right. very blind to any like it. I bet it had no message in it that was
right. I bet it was on par with like Shooter or like Red Dawn or something.
Right.
Where it's
I love
just
Shooter.
Like,
that's the Mark yeah, Wahlberg one.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's all just like flags behind right. guns. You know.
Yeah.
Like it's like yeah, freedom, baby. And it's like if that's what the movie you're making.
Mm. yeah
for multiple reasons I was hoping it wouldn't be, but there's just something I'm really worried about.
Yeah, and I'm sure
and
it'll
I'm
be released
like,
later.
I'd rather not be released if it even is close to that, and it sounds like it will.
Yeah,
and it's just like I wouldn't watch
we
it
don't
anyway.
Need this yeah we don't need this shit right now,
but I mean like I probably wasn't gonna watch it anyway, so yeah. Really, what does it matter? Obviously you vote on things every day by just not participating in them, but it's shitty right. to know that they exist, I guess.
Yeah, and this will come out. You'll see it on streaming or something.
Yeah, it's gonna get an international release, right? Because there's money
yeah,
on the
I'm sure.
table. Yeah,
it just seems like the fact that it started with red state versus blue state is just like that. Just already sounds like not the movie we need, unless it circles back
know.
To some positive ass message. And maybe it tried to, but maybe it was just from the fact that test audience were like, yeah, you know, we don't understand this. So I have a feeling
it was
coherent.
Yeah. And yeah, the only thing that I'm not really scared of, but I'm just like, I could see happening and that would bum me out is that Universal just waits. The sad state of affairs is that, like, I don't know if we're going to, if it's ever going to be again that we can wait out mass shootings.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I could see this being re-released at a different time just because,
right.
like, lightning struck, you know?
This is a totally different conversation, but I do think mass shootings will eventually go away. But
God, I hope so.
I don't think they can wait them out because, you know. It's not, I don't mean like tomorrow, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah.
They'll probably, release it at some point.
They're no Disney. Am I right?
They are no Disney.
They can't just choke it to death.
Yeah, that's true.
Choke the world's problems to death with their money.
Man, Disney.
Disney. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of money makers, Sony is making a sequel to the movie Searching. Mm-hmm. Did you see Searching, Abe?
No, I did not.
Ooh.
And I feel bad saying that because one of my friends wrote it.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you tell your friend that I really liked his movie?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because
Searching, I don't talk to him
much. Okay, well, just text him. Abe.
Just text him, my friend liked your movie. He's like you yeah. and a bunch of other people. Did you see Deadline?
Yeah, you should see Searching. Here's the thing.
I like the thought behind it. I just...
Right.
Yeah,
this
I don't know.
This genre...
isn't the movie for me. I bet it's really good.
Well, this genre of... It's like found footage of we see the just everything
right,
through the
yeah,
perspective
I know the
of the screen.
Yeah.
Me and Tom have talked about this previously, is what's funny about that hook is you think of it as like found footage where it's like it's another gimmick, But it actually does the opposite of found footage, because it forces the movie to be all dialogue and all the actors' faces. So it actually makes it less spectacle. It's actually more reliant on good writing and good performances.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, which is surprising. But like Unfriended, at least the first one, they shot that in one take because the actors were like, we need to keep up this intensity and we can't do it without doing it all in one take and stuff like that. So like there's that John Cho and Searching is very good. And the mystery is it's your classic thriller mystery, but it's very fun. And they're apparently doing a sequel without John Cho. And all I can think is like, we'll just do another movie. Like, it doesn't have to be a sequel.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's something about franchising with like the methodology, right. You know, like Blair Witch 2 versus just another found footage horror movie.
Yeah, that's fair. Just not they did this with Unfriended as well.
They made it for like it got sold for like $6 million and then it made like 75,000 or 75 million or something like that. It's like $6 million to 75 million in like just a few months. It was like
good
crazy.
On them.
Yeah.
Tell your friend I say good on smart. Him. Yeah.
Very smart.
No, but I guess this is a weird pattern because Unfriended has two movies and both are called Unfriended and neither of them have anything to do with each other. And then in fact, one's supernatural, one's about hackers. And Searching again, the movie that already came out is very much completed, the story. So like, I don't know why they can't just make more of these movies and not have to like label them, but you're right. The branding is important, I guess.
I think it's important to a movie like this because it's one of the biggest hurdles it's going over is that it's a new thing that you're not used to seeing. So by branding it, they get over the hurdle at least of like, it's just another one of those. Oh no, right. But it's made by the same people. Most people don't know who made
That's
what.
That's fair.
You know, so it's just like, remember Searching? Oh yeah, I do remember Searching. That's good. We're doing another thing like that. If you like that, you're gonna like this.
That's fair because Searching was like a kind of a hit. People liked it. Yeah, it makes sense. I just want this to break out into being a genre.
I think it will. Yeah. Undeniably because of the cost effectiveness of it. In fact, it's one of those things that I've been talking about is that we're gonna get like Twitch movies, you know? Like,
yeah,
we're gonna get like video game studios where someone makes like a Grand Theft Auto online, like with characters and directors and stuff like that, where the camera is literally the world's camera that you see in a video game,
right?
And they do that machinima style, but they like build it into the architecture of the game such that you know, like someone like Rockstar can be a producer on this movie. And that will be a film genre or Twitch movies. You know, they already exist. You just have to look for
sure.
But on a grand scale, I don't see why not.
Did you see that video? It was going around on Reddit of Bruce Willis making Pulp Fiction. And Tarantino is pointing like a home video camera at him, like talking to him. And Bruce Willis points to it and he goes, you know, in a few years, some kid's going to make a movie with one of those and it's going to make all the money. It'll cost $60,000 to make, which is exactly the budget of Blair Witch. He just calls that shot. But I agree that it's weird because like found footage, I thought did more bad than good.
Mm-hmm.
But this other genre, this like computer screen genre, I really think is going to be good for movies, be good for storytelling specifically.
There'll be good writers. Yeah. It depends on where you I mean, you talk to it depends on the film. I mean, I'm sure there's directors who would love to tackle this stuff. I know as a writer, with your bias, it's like that means I'm the major controller of the creative influence of this. I can see why that is appealing to anyone. Just like
it's
appealing to directors to be like, only I can decide what the shot is.
Right. You know, it's also very limiting.
I love that shit. I love when there's limitations. I think that make movies better sometimes.
Yeah.
There will also be shit. This genre will create absolute good dog shit.
Unfriended Dark Web was not a good movie, so it's already beginning. But I think it'll be more good than bad. I think it'll challenge people to have to, because like found footage, it created this weird tension. Like the Paranormal Activities was able to like do something that people liked for without having to spend a lot of money, but also not have to give a shit. You know what I mean? Like there was this like, oh yeah, we can just film something for 5 minutes and then something in the background can move and these fuckers will eat it up.
Yeah.
these money
whereas
mouths.
It's harder for this format to be lazy, I think. Because I don't think people would be into that, but we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong.
Do you remember that found footage movie Apollo 18?
Yeah, the documentary about spiders on the moon.
Yeah, where they were like, let's take found footage, a well-known strategy to save money, and let's put it on spaceships.
Yeah, I appreciated that.
And do CG monsters. It's like, wait, I thought the reason we made... okay, so you're going to make CG, but you're not going to spend money on a camera? All right, weird. Weird.
Well,
flex.
that's where it went. That's what Cloverfield was. And Cloverfield...
Yeah, kind of was,
like.
Yeah.
Was like, I remember watching Cloverfield and being like, oh, I get it. But at this point, you could just make a movie, you know? Like, the whole point was that you didn't have enough money to make a movie. So, yeah, you'd make found footage.
I guess, yeah, Cloverfield felt better because it was first of that. But then.
And it also added something to the genre.
It added something to the genre because it was a disaster movie. So you had a plurality of characters. But yeah. That's just mincing words. Point is, yes, it's very both dumb if you look at it from the standpoint of why do you typically choose a found footage film or like a film like this with, you know, like with Searching, where you're literally just directing a monitor experience.
Right. Speaking of new, like, I don't know, ways to make things, new formats.
Yeah,
the director of Crawl is making a choose your own adventure horror movie, which is going to be a thing now.
Oh, yeah. Did you watch Bandersnatch? Netflix one? What did you think?
It was all right. I'm getting kind of sick of the Black Mirror stuff. It was a cool idea that didn't really seem like they knew how to end it. Does that make sense? Like, I was like, what does any of this mean? And they didn't know.
Because a lot of them just fizzle out. That's why landing your, you know, ending is hard.
Right.
You know, you kind of leave it. And that was why we went on this journey. That is the point of this movie. And if you make weird choices, it's going to be like, oh, well,
yes.
So he just died, I guess.
Yeah. And there was a lot of that where they're like, you want to do this or this? And it's like, do this. And they're like, okay. But you really want to do this. You should do this. And it's like, I guess this isn't a choice after all.
And
which
it
is part of the point of that Bandersnatch?
I have a lot of thoughts about, I don't think that Choose Your Own Adventure movies are good for, like, they're not a good direction. I'm sure they'll have their heyday, and I'm sure they'll be fine.
Right.
And maybe I'll be the dinosaur when all movies are, you know, Choose Your Own Adventure, because that's the way that culture went it or whatever. I just don't think that allowing everyone, because the way I watch those is I want to see all the footage. Like,
you want to see, if you like it, you want to see everything.
No one watched the movie, made their one choice, and then just said, good movie. And then, like, walked away. No one did that, right? Everyone who watched the Choose Your Own Adventure, and I assume for the next ton of, you know, choose your own adventure films, you're gonna watch like, well, what if I chose this, and what you're gonna play with, because that's the purpose of interactivity, is to see like, well, what's all this about? And that is not the purpose of storytelling. The purpose of storytelling is to tell a compelling narrative.
Yes, and that's the thing, is no one's gonna be talking, like with Bandersnatch, we didn't discuss the plot at all just now, because it's like, what is there to discuss? We probably watched two different things. And Bandersnatch, I don't know about you, but when I got to my ending, I was like, I don't care about seeing any more of this.
Right.
Because it just wasn't good enough. And I feel like if you do a Choose Your Own Adventure and you hit a lot of dead ends, then it's just like, okay, well, what's the point? So you would have to make a movie that has like 8 endings, but then that only has to be a few limited choices along the way. Mm-hmm. And then you have to make it so that any narrative someone chooses is worth watching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's, you're right. It's like you're trying to craft a story. And if you lazily craft 8 stories,
yeah,
it's like, well, I'd rather have just seen you put in the effort to make one good story.
Yeah, and the other thing is, it's like we have really good interactive storytelling, and we have really good classical storytelling, and this is the amalgam of the two. It's in the middle, right. And I don't know if it will, like, because if you stray too far in one direction, where it's like, all right, you pull a gun out and shoot the person or don't shoot the person, and you're like, I choose to eat the gun, you know, or something like that, like.
I hope there's an eat the gun option.
Right. Like, if you choose to do, like, you have interactivity that to the point of it's now generating a bunch of other stuff, then go play a video game.
Right.
Or if you want to be told a story, go to a movie.
Right. Because that's the thing. That was the other thing about Bandersnatch I hated, is I was like, man, I'm eating. Like, stop rumbling, controller. Like, I just want to watch something. If I want to play a video game, I'll fucking play a video game. But like, having to watch a movie where like every 10 minutes someone nudges you and they're like, hey, choose something, and I'm just like, I don't care, just tell the story, choose it yourself, you fuckers. That's why we hired you. You tell the story
and what's, show me something I wasn't expecting, something I wasn't thinking about. Don't tell me, do you want the thing that you're not expecting?
Right.
Well, yeah. I want to eat the gun, obviously. Yeah.
It also kind of takes away the characters, the agency of the characters you're watching, because it's like,
that's why Bandersnatch was kind of good, is because
that was the point.
He's like, you sick fucks.
Yeah. But like, and when they start doing this without it, because Bandersnatch is very, fucking meta. But when they start doing it when it's not meta, then it's just like, I feel very little connection to these characters because I'm just deciding what they should decide.
And if I don't, and if they're like, well, then that ends the story because you chose like a maniac, and that means there's no story here. Do you want to go back to chapter 2?
Right.
Yeah. Revive my fucking character that I apparently really care about if they live or not. No. I don't.
Yeah, this is I don't think this is gonna.
So someone might make something that, like, that's what I think you said it best with the meta stuff, because like someone might make something that it's like, oh, what a delightfully meta movie or meta game. But I don't think it's even in the movie sphere. I mean, I understand the whole point of this is that they're sliding into each other because they're literally using it in a browser, and there's browser games. But I'm just saying, like, at some point, games are going to beat this.
Yeah.
In terms of that meta interactivity. They already have. I mean, they've already done it in format, but I mean, they tell a story that is like this. Like something that has a choose your own aspect, adventure aspect to it.
Right.
And movies are going to be like, well, fuck. They can make it so much faster because they already have all the actors and stuff.
Yeah. I think someone just realized that this was possible, and they're doing it without questioning whether or not it's a good idea.
And they're selling it.
Selling it. You gotta sell it. Yes. Yeah. Next story. Neil Blomkamp has exited the new RoboCop movie. MGM will continue making it. Sure why.
Yeah. I mean, that is typical. There's something that neither side wants people to see, so they don't need to reveal that information. Like, I wanted more money or creative differences, right. Or you know,
oh, it's just, I just mean
probably a boring reason, but has
not
to
sure
with...
why they're going to continue. Because
feels like the RoboCop.
Yeah, mean? What this feels like to me is that they made that shitty reboot that no one needed, because they fundamentally didn't understand what RoboCop was. Mm-hmm. They're like, let's make a non-violent RoboCop that's not a satire. And everybody was like, it was like the remake of Point Break or Red Dawn or Total Recall, where it's like, you don't understand this property at all. And I feel like Neil Blomkamp came around and was like, guys, I understand this property. Mm-hmm. Because I imagine he does. And he started making it, and then something happened. And they're like, well, let's keep going anyway. And it's like, no, just cancel it. You had one guy who knew what he was, who had an idea. Like, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
That's kind of what I think happened with the Edgar Wright Ant-Mans, is that the result, those Ant-Mans aren't the worst, but clearly they had Edgar Wright there who was like, I have a very clear idea of what I want to do here.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very unique. And then when he left, they're like, keep it going. And it's like, all right.
Yeah, because it's still going to make money. It's right. Just not the, we just didn't want you to have such creative control over such, to such a minutia. MGM's probably just wants its RoboCop to, they probably wants to make something that's a little grittier, but still not like crazy gritty right. of RoboCop. And because like RoboCop, the remake made money, so they're going right. to make money. I don't think that, how do you say his name? Blomkamp?
Blomkamp. I don't, Neil Blomkamp.
No, I don't. I know what he's made. I don't find him particularly interesting.
Well,
because so I don't care about his version of it.
Here's
is
the
he
thing.
Well known as like a really good director? To
no,
people?
I was gonna say I think the internet agrees with you. I think he, oh, did, okay. he made the one movie that everybody was impressed by,
which is District 9. Yeah.
And then I think what we learned for his falling films is, oh, he's only got that one idea.
Yeah,
because it's all the gritty, gross future. They should have given him a Star Wars, is what they should have done. He's perfect for a Star Wars because he didn't have any new ideas after that. He made Chappie and Elysium, and it was just like, these are all kind of whatever. Mm-hmm. They should have given him a writer and it's just been like, make one of these Star Wars, and it would have been great.
Yeah, yeah. I know that he has a knack for technical proficiency. He's a very good technical director.
Yeah,
because District 9 was insanely good,
right.
and shot and done on a budget that like came out of fucking nowhere out of South Africa.
Right.
I mean, he gave us the gift of Charles too.
Yes.
And so, like, he also has an eye for casting. It's
yeah. He's
really.
Not...
I don't think he's a bad director. I just think that what idea did he excite everyone about?
I think it's the writing aspect. I think he's just not, he has that like Robert Rodriguez low budget spirit that
makes
people like him. But I don't think people are that thrilled about, like, his movies don't seem to fizzle out a bit since District 9. So I think it's purely the writing side. He was going to do that Alien sequel, where he was going to bring back Michael Biehn and like just pretend Alien 3 didn't happen. And it was like, no, like, I get the instinct, but let's not do
let's
what they did with
retcon.
Terminators.
Yeah.
Let's not do do-overs. Let's just accept that series went the way it went and let's move on.
Yeah. Let's just, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. I think RoboCop's, it can be over.
It can be, and it should be. Let's kill RoboCop, guys.
Let's shoot RoboCop in the non-existent dick.
Yes, exactly. Just wreck his dick. Pop it like a balloon.
Yeah.
Speaking of, no good segues. Ewan McGregor is probably back as Obi-Wan for a Disney Plus series.
Cool. You know,
everybody wanted this. Yeah, everybody wanted this. Ewan, get that money. What's he up to? Is he up to anything?
Doing stuff with money, clearly.
Being one of the McGregors. McGregor
Disney wants
around.
You, and you got a little bit of leverage. You're going to be like, yeah, fuck yeah.
I mean, I think it was pretty agreed on. Like, and there are other things that people like from the prequels, but the thing that it feels like everybody can agree on is him. It was just like, oh, that's perfect. What
a
perfect choice.
He's great. He did a good job with the shitty lines.
Yes.
Good job. Good job, man. You really pulled an all-nighter on that one, and we'll thank you.
Yeah. He tried his hardest.
Yeah.
He really did.
It's just like the all-star of the shittiest team.
Yes.
In the pennant.
Right, he was making all the points.
All the points.
All the points.
Yeah, good for him. Goals. And I don't know what the Disney series... What is the new Disney series? Is it just like the Star Wars series? What is it? Is it...
I assume it's just... Here's where it gets weird in my head. Because it's Disney Plus, so it's going to be like a TV show.
Yeah.
It's Ewan McGregor before his old man Obi-Wan. So he went into hiding on Tatooine? And in the canon, he's just sort of an old man who goes into hiding for a while.
Can this just be Picard, but it's just called Obi?
Oh, yes. I want a crossover. Yeah. Fuck it.
Fuck it all.
Yeah,
dude.
But that's
burn
the thing.
It
he's
down.
It's Ewan McGregor, so he's not an old man, but he's like middle age. So it's like middle age Obi-Wan going on, adventures in between these two movies?
He starts a winery because he killed his best friend.
Yes.
Almost.
God,
or he turned his best friend into like a Hitler.
A Hitler.
And it's basically the same arc as they did with the new ones with Luke. And he feels bad about it. And then he goes off to Tatooine to live in a hole.
Right. Man, the Jedi are really good at turning people into Hitlers.
Yeah, they really are. And
they're
they
a Hitler
feel,
factory.
They really just skirt under the rug what they do after they do that. Uh-huh. They just kind of like, and then just like in the future, he's just kind of
right.
in the dumpies.
Well, and then they fuck off into hiding. They're like, oops, made a Hitler.
Whoopsie.
Better crawl in this hut forever.
Pulled
good luck,
whoopsie.
Everybody.
Yep.
I fucked you all over, and now I'm going to bounce. It's like, fuck you, Jedis. God, they suck.
If you need me, though, I'll be here.
Yep.
I'll be reluctant, but then you'll bring me back.
We made a Hitler, and he killed all the children that we abducted to make soldiers. Mm-hmm. Whoops. Mm-hmm.
Whoops.
Sorry, everyone.
Whoops.
Goddamn Jedi.
It's like when Picard killed a ton of humanity as a Borg.
As a Borg, yep.
He just kind
but
of...
No, it's
different.
It's different.
No, it's
he didn't
different.
Mean to.
He didn't. He was under the influence.
Resistance is futile.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is that was pretty gnarly of him.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. Man, I do. Yeah. I just want Picard versus Obi-Wan. I want them have competing vineyards.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, Picard's going to win because Obi-Wan has it on a sand planet.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe
it's a natural disadvantage,
I guess. It's like the spice. Maybe you can make wine out of like the spice or something.
Sure.
I don't know. Maybe it's like Arrakis. Who knows? It's fucking like... Star Wars. It can be any planet.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't have to stay on that planet either. He can spaceships.
I mean, wouldn't that kind of fuck you up if you were like, oh yeah, Obi-Wan, it's canon now. He arrived at, like, they call him, like, old man. What do they call him in Star Wars?
Old Ben Kenobi?
Old Ben Kenobi. You know, like, yeah, he just moved here, like, 6 months ago.
That's the thing, this is the problem with this series, is that they're, you know, they're like, now he's going to go on adventures. And it's like, this is literally the period of his life where he's not going on adventures.
Right.
He's defeated. The whole point of that character is that he's just been hiding in the desert until he became an old man. Instead, they're going to posit a world in which Obi-Wan went into hiding, got bored, and got thrown into some crazy space adventure for, you know, like 10 years, and then settles back down.
So, yeah. So either it gets canceled at some point, we just don't have to think about it, or this new show ends with him creating another Hitler, so he has to go into a cave. Because still the motivation for going into a cave is pretty pretty specific, right? You're like, okay, yeah, I fucked up. So he has to fuck up majorly again.
What if, he creates another Hitler and kills him in this time?
Mm-hmm.
Like, within the span, he's hiding from the other Hitler.
God damn it, I keep doing it.
Yeah.
I keep doing it.
And maybe he thinks that, like, maybe all the confusion of A New Hope is he thinks Luke's referring to the other Hitler that he created.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't, like, he goes to his grave not realizing, like, oh, no, you're talking about the Hitler before that Hitler that
was
created.
That would change, because, yeah, now he's, like, this Hitler son. And then the grandson Hitler would be Luke Skywalker. So that changes that scene where he gets struck down by Darth Vader, where right. he's just like, kill me. Why? Because I think I might be doing it again.
Yeah, I think I need to just get killed.
Luke Hitler.
Maybe he keeps naming them Vader afterwards too. Because yeah. it would like, okay, this would explain, like, maybe maybe he thought Luke's father was someone else. Because he says, like, when I met him, he was a great pilot, which is true, because when he met him, he was a child. So maybe he's talking about another person, and it would fill in all the plot holes
right.
of, like, the prequels versus the New Hope. Yeah, maybe we just find out he's just a maniac, and he's just making Hitler's left and right.
Hitler's left and right, and feeling bad about it for, like, 6 months at a time.
Right. He goes out to dinner with someone. Next thing you know, they're killing younglings.
Yeah.
And he's like, what did I say? What did I do?
Which is crazy, because at the very best, all he did is he just made another Obi-Wan Kenobi out of Luke, you know, who yeah. also made a Hitler. So we're just
also made
at this point, it's very possible that we have, like, 3.5 Hitlers.
Something
made
like that.
In two lifetimes. Because Luke isn't a Hitler. Like, he's the good one. But, like, but Obi-Wan died during that. So that's why it kind of was like, it was like about to become another Hitler. Like, it could have become another Hitler.
Right.
But because he died, Luke ended up fine.
Right.
And Obi-Wan's just a fucking.
Oh, I see. Yeah. He was like, this one's becoming a Hitler. Because, yeah, Luke almost becomes a Hitler.
Yeah.
He has a near Hitler experience.
Yeah, yeah. He, like, created Kylo Ren or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like we've worked it all out.
We worked it all out.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's it for the news stories. Mm-hmm. Abe, I want to tell you about a movie that I think deserves more hype.
Yeah, yeah.
This came out 2 days ago when people are listening to this. It's called Los Reyes. It is 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mind you, that's with a limited amount of critics. It's like 14 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just about dogs. What happened is, according to the directors, they were doing a documentary about these kids at a skate park. These kids must have sucked so much, because they noticed these two old dogs were showing up every day, and they were like, hey, what's these dogs doing? And so they just started filming the dogs, and the whole documentary is just about these really cool dogs. Like, they're just hanging out at the skate park.
Yeah, it's the trailer is, and the movie, therefore. By the way, yeah. Isn't the movie like 78 minutes?
78 minutes long.
So it's like, it's really pushing it. Like, there's not a lot there. You basically are going there if you're going to see shots of two dogs and kids lightly talking over it about their own lives, but we don't give a shit.
The review says the canines don't too much. This isn't an attempt to anthropomorphize them, but they are mesmerizing to look at as they lie about and chew on soccer balls, bottles, branches, and at one point a brick, which must be the high point of the film.
Yeah, they worked up to brick.
Yeah.
Yeah, no symbolism, nothing.
It's just dogs.
Just dogs.
Yeah, they say, like, yeah, there's no symbolism. Just dogs.
God, I have a lot of bummer things that my brain goes to when I see this, because I understand, and I want it said first and therefore most importantly, what a wonderful thing. Just two cute little dogs two big cute dogs.
Yeah.
Just, you know, having a good time, shot on good, you know, cameras, and you're just going to go and that's going to be your day. What a great experience.
Right.
I wouldn't call this a movie.
Well, okay, maybe there's a narrative in there.
No,
but it doesn't sound like there is. I mean, this reminds me of Keddie is the cat documentary. Mm-hmm. That's just following a bunch of cats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I know what you're saying,
but it's not like when even that, like, had an interesting, like, isn't this weird that this exists?
Right. Yeah. The dogs.
This is just like yeah, yeah. We know there are strays that live at dog parks. Yeah, we know that's a part of dogs in American society.
Yeah, it's, I mean, part
and
of
other societies. There's just dogs everywhere.
Part of this feels like a documentary that went really wrong.
Yeah.
Like they were like, I like to imagine the producer like, so we sent you that skate park to, like discover like you know this like vast network of like. Skaters or like this hidden underground drug ring or something, and you just give like all the footage is just dogs, and they're like, yeah, the dogs were pretty cool, like we started filming the kids, like they clearly like were killing the kids and we're just like, nothing's happening, kids suck. And then they saw the dogs and they were like, check out these dogs are way cooler.
Yeah,
than the, like, if you're gonna spend an hour and a half watching something with no plot, might as well be a couple of dogs and not some shitty kids.
That you make a fair point. Look, there's two things that went through my brain when I watched this trailer. The first, very quickly, is made me very depressed because, you know, I'm in my mid 30s and sure. And I want to make movies and sure. There's a lot of struggles. It's a very competitive market and you have a lot of reasons to doubt yourself, and they give these dogs a fucking movie.
Right.
So that's one.
Imagine being an actor, Abe, and yeah. watching this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being like, what the fuck?
I get it. You know, like there's pluralities of films and this is not like taking money. This is just kids who were making documentaries about kids and then decided the dogs were more interesting. It's not like they're taking something away from me, but it just,
sure.
it's, you know, it's just one of those little dipsticks in time that make you go, The other thing I want to talk about is that, you know, what's going to happen after this movie comes out, right?
More dog movies?
Well, maybe. I mean, if it does really well, but definitely what's going to happen is they're going to find out where these dogs are. And somebody right. who's going to fall in love with these dogs is going to take the dogs.
Yeah, unless they're already got owners, like someone might adopt
someone
them.
From the production or something like that.
What if this does better than Endgame? What if this is like the next
this
number
is the
one
next
film?
Type of thing?
Yeah. Because everybody's just so burnt out with the world that they're like, you know what? I'm going to watch these dogs.
Only
from
dogs
now on.
From yeah. now on. Writers, these directors, dogs. No longer. Go find yep. other work elsewhere.
Yeah, it'll spawn a whole genre.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah, it's, I mean, it is very cute. There's this one game that they play where in order to play, you know, because they don't have, the skaters are not, they're going there to skate. They're not there to play with the dogs 100% of the time.
Right.
So they have the tennis ball, which I assume one of the skaters gave them. Or maybe yeah. the, you know, because it's clear they do this. This is not something that happened for the movie. They do this from time to time. Is they use the slope of the half pipes and such and the ramps
right, to play with the ball
themselves. And that's probably was what the directors were looking at and going like, look at that. They're right. adapting to their environment. That's a cool thing.
I also thought that this, I liked some of the way it was shot in the trailer. There's a shot of a little yappy dog barking at the big old dog. Mm-hmm. And the owner's like dragging the yappy dog off a frame. And the frame never changes. And then the other dog, the old dog's all sleepy. And it just kind of like looks up at the camera like, what the fuck was that?
Here's
another. It's like a comedic beat.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah. I thought that was well put together. The shots themselves, I'm so glad that this was on this Hypecast, because if you look at the shots themselves, they love to do something that is like very slice of life, which is that like you have a shot at the bottom of frame where it's just a paw, and the top of the frame like cuts off the dog like at the nose, so you don't even see its expressive eyes. It's just like parts of dog, or just here's a shot of a tennis ball, you know, here's a shot of like just the half pipe and the dog runs out of focus behind it to kind of evoke this tone poem for you, where it's just like, oh, I'm just kind of sitting around at different spots and just kind of taking it all in. Famously kind of coined and altered and changed the way we shot. And I want to point out a film that was very instrumental in doing that, Tree of Life.
Yes, I was about to bring up Terrence Malick, because here's the previous complaint that Terrence Malick is like, I don't want to watch Sean Penn like aimlessly walk around, but replace him with a dog, and I'll watch the shit out of that.
So
it's just
here's
like
what
let's
I hope.
Artistically shoot dogs, and
I
it's
hope
like
this
yeah.
beats the shit out of whatever. I've even forgotten what the movie was called.
Yeah.
The new Terrence Malick movie.
Oh, like, my just God, box office, yes.
And then Terrence Malick's is... decides to just like, okay, I see where it is, and he just shoots it shot for shot, but replaces the two dogs with Sean Penn.
Sean Penn playing with a ball and a half.
Playing with
pipe.
A ball licking his paws.
Aww. You know, there's our good old Sean Penn.
Getting fed some turkey bacon.
God, I really hope this beats the shit out of Terrence Malick.
Because it would be such a bad thing for movies. And
I don't
kind
know.
Of make me
I think
happy.
It would be, I think it would be a good thing for Terrence Malick films. Like, I think, here's the thing. This is never going to actually replace Avengers Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
But it might replace Terrence Malick films, where people realize, like, okay, if you want that artsy shit,
it
might as well
but,
film
yeah.
something that we like looking at. That
yeah,
isn't...
It's like
nobody
art house.
Nobody likes looking at Sean Penn.
Art house. Pulp art house. Yeah. It's, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. It's like, if you're going to make art house films that are boring mm-hmm. and long, because mm-hmm. we're going to make those no matter what, mm-hmm. might as well put some good old dogs in it. Might as
yeah,
well
just,
have a good
just,
puppy in there.
Yeah, just 72 minutes of it, or 78 yeah. minutes of it. The
tell a little story with some dogs.
I also like the idea that the dogs are really taking this shit seriously, and when they see the edited film, they're like, what the fuck? You just cut right out of my, like, sentence. You know, like, you piece of
yeah.
shit. Do you know how to direct and edit? Like, I'm
what
giving you gold
this?
Over here,
yeah.
you fucking hacks.
Yeah.
Because they
yeah,
had a whole arc.
A
they had a whole arc where, like, you know, it got really deep in there. Is all I'm saying. Real Terrence
yeah,
Malick.
I was just like, I did 20 takes of that. Did
yeah,
you, what the
yeah.
fuck?
The ball obviously symbol. What do you think the ball symbol? You're not even answering yeah. my question.
The dogs are like two little Kubricks.
Yeah, two little Kubes.
Yeah, little mm-hmm. Kubes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Their names
Who's
are
a good dog.
Football and Chola, and the film
yeah.
is Los Reyes.
Las Reyes, everybody fucking check out the trailer at least, and I think watch it. I think watch it.
I mean, yeah, it's here's the thing.
Watch
I also love
the Terrence Malick. Watch
I love the
review.
It says the resulting film, which was shot over 2 years, but breezes through its 78-minute running time.
Yes.
Means breezes through 78 minutes is like, I don't even know what the analogy, but it's like basically he's just, the reviewer is just saying like, I sat down, watched it. It didn't overstay its welcome or not.
Yeah.
It was fine. I enjoyed yeah. watching dogs for 78 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. It's basically like, I thought this was going to be a living hell, but yeah. It went by quicker than I thought.
Yeah. Because, yeah,
so
it's
good.
Short.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I like dogs.
Some good dogs in it. Yeah.
So,
that's. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to know what the kids thought. About this,
the
oh,
kids.
You're gonna make a documentary
I like to think the kids.
Us?
Yeah, the
cool.
kids watched it later and they're like, "What
the
fuck?
Fuck! You found the dogs more interesting than this?" And he's like, "Yeah, kid. You guys talk. You're talking about nothing."
And I like the, to think the kids the, were assholes and they're like, "You know what, kids? We're shooting the dogs.
We're shooting
fuck
the dogs,
you
motherfuckers!" But the, yeah. the beauty of this is all the kids look like they're anywhere from like 11 to 17
yeah.
So when they're 25, you know, they're gonna be like, I'm so glad that they didn't make that documentary
yes.
about me.
That might have been it too, where they're just like, man, this is
dodged
embarrassing
a bullet.
Yeah.
Dodged a bullet there.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody check this out. That's I think that's it for our fabulous Hypecast episode, Abe.
Oh yeah. You guys did it even though we're Tomless. I
yeah.
mean he did get raptured. We
Tom
have
got
to
raptured
make a note
halfway
of it.
Through.
I don't know what does this mean for Gamefully Unemployed for you? What does this mean for the brand?
I'll figure it out. I don't know.
Is there microphones in heaven?
God, I hope not.
Do they
I don't
do Discord?
Hear what they're doing up there, all that fucking. You know they're fucking like mad up there.
Oh, yeah, they're Tom's fucking right now. He's,
yeah,
already, he's been there for like 20 minutes. He's already fucking.
Uh-huh. He's yeah. Man, he's doing blow off of Mother Teresa right now. Because that's what you do in heaven.
Everybody does that?
Oh, yeah.
And that's just what Mother Teresa's version of heaven is, too?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. We're all marching to the beat of her drum. It's just like, she's like, listen up, fuckers. I had a fucking boring-ass life. I was good. Y'all rewarded me. Now we're doing blow.
And they're like, God, do you have anything to say? No, it's heaven blow, dude. No,
heaven blow.
No consequences.
No consequences.
Yeah, we're going to hell.
Good stuff. We're going to hell where the blow sucks.
Where the blow is hell blow.
Hell blow is the worst.
Yeah, it makes you irritable.
Mm-hmm.
It does not get you high.
No.
And you grow hooves.
Stepped on like mad. Yeah, you grow the hooves.
Fuck.
Abe, thank you so much for joining me on this journey.
Hey.
Can you do me a favor, Abe?
Yeah.
could you plug stuff? Could you plug your stuff?
I fucking hate this part. Yeah, sure. I don't know, watch the dog movie.
Sure. Yeah. Everybody.
You can find me on the Twitter, @AbeTheMighty. One word, and I do a thing called Small Beans with Michael Swaim, and we have a show called Off Hours, which is much like the Crack show that you may have seen that has shared a similar name. And you can find that and on the YouTubes or the internets. It's called Small Beans.
Do it. I should probably quickly plug. We have Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. And then also we have tpublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed. And there's t-shirts. You can wear them. And finally, just leave us an Apple Podcast review. We've been adding that one and I like it. I read them. I like it. Gets me off.
Yeah. And if you guys can get real quick on the Chris Cooper dab emoji that I know you're all been working on for the last hour.
Cooper dab.
Put those in the comments and stuff.
Yeah. Tell us, man, I don't know what to tell us. Tell us how you think Chris Cooper would dab. Is it special? Is it like sad. A special Cooper dab?
It's a sad dad dab.
Sad dad dab. Oh, Coops. All right. Say goodbye, Abe.
Bye.
Bye.
Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter @TheCorlew, CORLEW, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter @JustinTBrown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.